Good evening, everybody. Welcome back. It's so nice to have you all here again. So last night, we went over the topic of the great controversy. We looked at where sin originated, how we got involved, and the struggle that goes on between right and wrong, between God and Satan. So as we've been going throughout this series, we've been looking at different prophecies. We've been looking at a lot of scripture. We've been unveiling some deceptions that the devil uses to deceive us and to lead us astray. Tonight, we're going to look at one of the biggest deceptions that he uses. So tonight's topic is called Dust to Dust. We're going to look at what happens when we die. Thursday night, we're going to go over the law of love. And Friday night, remember the forgotten. Before we start, let's have a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this opportunity to talk about you and your word. I ask that you may guide us now. Please guide me with your Holy Spirit. And use me as your mouthpiece, Lord, and please bless us all with the Holy Spirit and just guide us. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. So, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So, we're going to go back to the Garden of Eden. As you know, God created Adam and Eve. He instructed them that they could eat of any of the trees in the garden except of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Verse 17 in chapter 2 of Genesis says, but of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Plain and simple, disobedience leads to death. But then, later on, we see that Eve encounters the serpent who is being spoken through by Satan, and he tells her something different. He says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. So God says one thing. Satan, all he does is add one word and totally changes the entire meaning of what God said. The Bible says in John 8:48, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So all lies has originated from Satan, and he continues to deceive others with his lies. So really, it is a question of who are we going to listen to, Satan or God? They both spoke something. We're going to look at what God says in his word tonight. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So this is the creation scene of mankind. Notice the two components that go together. You have dust and the breath of life combining together equals a living soul. So you need dust and breath equals living soul. Simple equation, right? So if we don't have any dust, we don't have any living soul. If we don't have any breath, we don't have a living soul. So just keep in mind that we need both in order to live. If you think about it, think about a light bulb. You have a light bulb, right? What does a light bulb need in order to give light? Electricity. If it doesn't have electricity, it's not going to shine. And without the light bulb, if you just have electricity but no light bulb, you're not going to have light either. You need both. So you could have a lamp plugged in without the bulb, but it doesn't do any good unless you have the bulb. And you could have the bulb in the lamp, but if the lamp isn't plugged in, it's still no good. So it is with us. We need our body, and we need the breath of life, which is given by God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and verse 14. That you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potent, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality. What did the serpent tell Eve? You shall not surely die. So what is he implying? You're immortal. God said, if you disobey and you eat of this tree I tell you not to, you will die. So God's telling mankind, you're mortal. But Satan throws in that seed of doubt, saying, no, you don't have to listen to God. You're immortal. Don't worry about it. The Bible tells us that only God has immortality. So what is the soul? Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Acts 27:37. And we were in all in the ship, 2,316 souls. So what is a soul? It's a human being. Do you know SOS? What that means? Save our souls. So a soul is nothing more than a living human being. We need to get away from this mentality that the enemy has sowed, that the soul is a separate entity from the body. That's not how God created us. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, it says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So what about this verse? What is the spirit? The spirit in the original language is the Hebrew word ruach, which is translated better to breath. So they used spirit and breath interchangeably. If you just look at the root word, it's very clear that it is still breath or wind. Job 27:3, as long as my breath is in me and the breath of God is in my nostrils. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. So what gave us life? The breath that came from God. James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So James clearly says, if you don't have the spirit or the breath from God, you're a corpse. The ancient Egyptians believed in the pagan doctrine of the immortality of the soul. So if you look at all these ancient pagan religions, they believed that when you die, you just kept living in the spirit world. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Think about this. If we were immortal, like Satan says that we are, why would we need a Savior? We wouldn't. But Christ had to step in for us to pay the price so that we would not be eternally lost. So can the dead speak to us? The Bible says in Leviticus 19:31, give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. So God specifically told the Israelites not to seek after familiar spirits or people who practiced these things. There's a reason. Isaiah 8:19, "And when they say unto you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living?" Absolutely not. If you remember when we went over Daniel 2, and Daniel wanted to know what this dream was and the interpretation, who did he go to? He went to God. He prayed and he asked the Lord what the future was going to hold. And the Lord is the one who told him. If you remember also from that story, when King Nebuchadnezzar called in his wise men, his soothsayers, his wizards, all then practiced witchcraft and speaking to familiar spirits. They couldn't answer the question because they had no power to reveal what was going to happen or what God had revealed. Only God knows what would happen. Psalm 115, 17. "The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence." Ecclesiastes 9:5. "For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion for even forever in anything that is done under the sun." So very simply put, is that when you die, everything just stops. Think of it this way. If you have a computer, and you have a program running on the computer, and you unplug that computer, is that program still going to run? No. It just stops. It ceases. The power source is disconnected, so it shuts off. So it is when somebody dies. It says their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Stops. Ecclesiastes 9:10. "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest." So he goes on to say, do the best you can do while you're still living, because when you die, it's over. You don't continue to talk or think or do things when you're dead. It ceases. Job chapter 7, 9 and 10. "As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more." Praise the Lord, we don't have to worry about zombies. The world today is obsessed with people rising up from the dead. The Bible tells us clearly, this will not happen. If you remember in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says, "For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." So what about ghosts? In Time magazine, it said, "The search for Mary. Is she appearing now?" Is she? Life. Do you believe in miracles? Apparitions worldwide. The Blessed Virgin Mary, Queen of the Prophets. From throughout the world, the Blessed Virgin Mary announces the coming reign of God in the hearts of all mankind. So people around the world are seeing Mary come to them. And she's coming with messages. 100,000 show for Mary's message. Visions of Mary attract crowds. So what is going on? In the book, The Thunder of Justice says, Mary has said she will appear, if necessary, in every single house. I hope she skips mine. In the book, Mary's Message to the World by Annie Kirkwood, there's a few messages in here. Let's see what they say. Tell others that there is no devil. Heaven and hell are simply mental states. In one lifetime, Joseph was a monk in Spain. We have all lived many lives. The real message, how to prepare ourselves for our re-entry into the spirit world after physical death. So whose message is that really? Who said that you won't die? That you just keep living? You have many lives. Don't worry about death. It's Satan. 1 John 4:1, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets had gone out into the world. Clear warning by John. So how do we test the spirits? Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Revelation 16:4, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. There's no such thing as ghosts. What these ghosts or apparitions are is just the fallen angels and Satan coming in the appearance of these individuals. And all they are doing is attracting the eye to get them to listen to whatever they want to tell them. 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Let me ask you something. If I came to you and said, hey, let's be evil today. Let's go do some wicked things. What would you say to me? Get out of here. What if I came appearing as a glorious angel from heaven and said, I've been sent from God, and he told me so-and-so and so-and-so, and I said 90% of the things I said were from the Bible, but I added a couple extra things, and those couple extra things were not from the Bible. Remember when Satan deceived Eve, he didn't come in his own form, but he spoke through the serpent. And when he spoke through the serpent, he said a lot of what God said, except for one word. He said, ye shall not surely die. Turning what God said into false. Revelation 16:14, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles. So can Satan work miracles? Well, the Bible tells us right here that he can. But there's also examples in the Bible of Satan working miracles. If we go back to Exodus, chapter 12, verse 10. If you remember when Moses and Aaron went before Pharaoh, God sent them and he sent them and told them to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And God he allowed Moses to perform miracles to prove that he was from the Lord. So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh and they did so, just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, so the magicians of Egypt, They also did in like manner with their enchantments. So Aaron throws down his rod. It turns into a serpent. Pharaoh's like, I can do that too. Calls in his wise men, says, throw your rods down, turn them to the serpents. And they did the same thing. There's a difference. Verse 12. For every man threw his rod down, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. The truth devoured the error. But this story just goes to show us that even Satan can perform miracles, or make it seem like he's performing a miracle. Matthew 4:5, when Satan was trying to tempt Jesus in the wilderness. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. What did he say there? For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Does Satan know the scripture? Absolutely. And he will use that to his advantage. He uses it out of context. He'll use it partially. Just like in the Garden of Eden, where he used God's words, he does that even today. He'll use part of the scripture, but not the whole thing. That's why it's important for us to know our Bibles. So that we can go back and say, no, you forgot this part. Matthew 24:24, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Some people will be reading the Bible and going by what the Bible says, but then all of a sudden they see an angel come down from heaven. It says, what you're reading is true, but there's something else. God changed this. Believe me, you see me. The Bible tells us that we walk by faith, not by sight. We go by what the Bible says, not by what any other person may say or any being that we may see. There was a story I heard of a pastor. I don't know how long ago it was, but his son died in Vietnam. And one night, he woke up and he saw his son standing at the foot of his bed, clear as day. And he starts crying. And then all of a sudden, he snaps out of it and says, get behind me, Satan. And he disappeared. So it was no little thing for Satan to take on the appearance of anybody. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. The Bible already predicted that this will happen, so it gives us plenty of time and warning to be prepared. Acts chapter 2 and verse 29. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us this day. For David did not ascend into the heavens. Now, any of God's followers, you would think maybe David, right? Said David was a man after God's own heart. God loved David. But the Bible tells us not even David is in heaven. John 11, verse 11. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. You remember Lazarus? Jesus loved Lazarus. So now the disciples and Jesus are going to wake Lazarus up. Verse 12, then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. So what did Jesus compare death to? Sleep. Moving on in the story, they get there. Jesus comes across Martha and Mary. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So even back then, they understood the state of the dead. They understood that when people died, they went into a sleep until Jesus would resurrect them. Going down to 39, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Amen. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Notice he had to call Lazarus out by name, because if he just said, arise, all the dead would have just risen up at that time. But also notice, if you continue reading that story, Lazarus doesn't mention anything about being in heaven. And you would think, when people are asking him, you know, what was it like? You would think that he would say something, right? He doesn't mention anything. Why? Because he was just asleep in the grave. And think about this. If Jesus loved Lazarus so much, and Lazarus was in heaven, and Jesus called him to come out of heaven, to come back to this sinful world, do you think Lazarus would be happy? Be like, Jesus, come on. I was in paradise, and you brought me back here? Send me back. But no, Lazarus was just asleep in death. And Jesus came and brought him back to live again. In John 11:11, Jesus says, our friend Lazarus is sleeping. And in verse 14, he says, plainly, Lazarus is dead. Making a connection between the two, sleep, or death is like sleep. Have you ever been in a really deep sleep before where nobody woke you up and you woke up the next day and it felt like you were just asleep for like 5 minutes? That's how it's going to be with death. When people go to sleep in the grave, the next thing that they're going to realize is that they're resurrected. Matthew 12:40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So, Lazarus didn't go straight to heaven when he died. David didn't go straight to heaven when he died. Surely if anybody in the Bible would go straight to heaven when they died, who do you think it would be? The Son of God, Jesus, right? Let's take a look. John 20, verse 13. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned around and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. Jesus said to her, Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. When Jesus resurrected that Sunday morning, he plainly told Mary he did not ascend to his Father. He rested in the grave. Martin Luther wrote, We shall sleep until he comes and knocks on the little grave and says, Dr. Martin, get up. Then I shall rise in a moment and be happy with him forever. Even the reformers back then understood the state of the dead. But throughout history and time, we have lost this understanding. Because the devil uses this particular topic to deceive people. Psalm 13:3, Consider and hear me, O Lord my God, enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Daniel 12:2, And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Over and over again, you see them using sleep referring to death. Romans 6:23, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. So Paul is giving comfort to the Christians. He's saying, don't be mournful and sorrowful as those who have no hope, because we know that Jesus will return and will resurrect those who believed and were waiting for his coming. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So the first death, or the natural death of this mortal body, is just a temporary separation. But God is able and ready and willing to come back to resurrect those who are waiting for him. So if we lose a loved one, we need to have hope and confidence that God is going to keep his word. Because he has promised, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back. Verse 15, For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. If you remember when we were talking about the second coming, one of the major things that happens during the second coming is the resurrection of the righteous. Says plainly right here, God will come with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. The righteous do not receive the reward until the second coming. And this is a glorious day. Imagine a reunion, the biggest reunion ever. All the saints at one time get to meet the Lord in the air. All the dead rise at the same time, They go up first. Those who are still alive meet them. It's one big event. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So Paul is saying, not all Christians are going to die. But he's saying we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So it is not until the second coming, when Jesus resurrects the righteous, that is when they receive their reward of immortality. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Only through Jesus can we receive eternal life. And let me tell you, in Revelation 22:12, it says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Jesus has his reward of eternal life for his people, and he's bringing it with him when he returns. He's not just giving it out randomly to people when they die. So it comes down to this. Are we going to believe Satan saying that we live, that we are immortal already, that we don't die? Or are we going to believe what God says, that we are mortal? But Jesus stepping in on our behalf opened up a way for us to receive immortality once again. Think about this. If you have a loved one who dies and they go straight to heaven, would they really be able to enjoy themselves in heaven knowing that you're still here struggling and mourning their loss? No. They would not have any peace. It doesn't make any sense. It sounds nice when they preach it in the funerals that so-and-so is up in heaven looking down upon us, but it's not God's word. It's a deception. I'd rather know the truth than to be lied to. Sometimes the truth hurts, but in the long run, we're better to know the truth than to be deceived. Before we have prayer, I just hope that we all have comfort knowing that God does love us. God wouldn't have given us so much information on this topic if it wasn't so important. And I hope that we all just go to His Word and not what is the popular belief. So I'm asking, are you happy today to know what God's Word says? Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Eternal loving Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the comfort you have given us in your word to know what will happen to us when we die. To know that we do not go straight to heaven or straight to hell, but we go to sleep, awaiting that glorious day when you will return. I thank you, Lord, and I ask that you may continue to guide us and help us to be prepared for that day. And I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Thursday night, we're going to look into the law of love. So please come back, and may God bless you and get you all home safely.